Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Colin Neal in today for Figgy Fig. They are in the loop, and they start now.
That's right. Happy Thursday to you. We are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Colin Neal in for Figgy Fig. Shout out to the 713 Texan and saying they still have a copy of Lopez's article on Mark McGwire breaking the home run record.
I'll look for that one. I have that one somewhere, too.
Man, look. I feel bad for constantly, you know, poking at you and stuff.
It's all right. I don't mind.
Yeah, you're apparently you've had a really good career or something. I don't know.
I don't mind.
It's very frustrating that he's actually accomplished some things.
All right, we'll see
what
if
have
I
you
can.
Done with yourself?
Well, I ask myself that all the time. Colin can attest. Earlier this morning, I was just like, what am I doing with my life? Which is less a actual... you know, examination of my life and more just how do I get myself on track right in this moment. And in this moment, how I get myself on track is letting you know that you can get involved with the program by texting in on the text line. 713-572-4610 is the number. Also, the YouTube and Twitch are available to you. I see all y'all hanging out in there. Virginia Buttonweed in there, fantastic name, said that I hope the Texans pick up Zeke.
Wait,
don't laugh, Sean.
Wait, what?
The name is Virginia Buttonweed. I don't know. And it's not Burton, it's Button. I don't know like what the context is there. And I'm not here to judge.
This profile pic.
I'm not here to judge. That is just the name there. But they are with you, John, with that moment that you had, what was it, in Confessions, was it yesterday or 2 days ago about the Texans picking up Zeke?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, and I still can't get there. That is a man who is fully laundered. I mean, I get it. He could pass block, but I mean, you have somebody who is specifically designed to pass block on this team, and his name is Dare Ogunbowale. Right?
Yes, it
so,
is.
Yeah, I don't know. Good luck to y'all. But hang out. Thanks for you guys hanging out on the Twitch. Thanks for hanging out on the YouTube. Thanks for hanging out with us in general here on Sports Radio 610. Man, I just want to talk college football.
Like, I do too.
This is a little bit of a personal thing for me in this instance. I'm just going to be selfish because New Year's Day games delivered.
Yeah, they did.
They delivered. And I said this in some ways about the Kinders Texas Bowl, right? About LSU and Baylor, understanding a thing that I love about college football, which is a good game is cool, an unhinged game is perfect.
Yeah.
And Texas was like, don't worry about that, baby. I got it for you, right? I was in a place where I thought Penn State was going to be the team because James Franklin, the James Franklin of it all, the team that did, you know, put the maximum example of making it harder than it needed to be because they did a little bit at against Boise, right? They did.
A little bit. Yeah.
Texas was like, no, we could take that to the absolute max as they had to win. They had to take this to overtime with a couple of missed kicks, some weird situations. A very fortunate call.
Fortunate?
That goes in their
fortunate
favor.
Is the word you
that
went with?
From the Texas perspective, it was fortunate.
It's all about perspective, John.
Yeah, isn't it? Right? Perspective matters, doesn't it? And from Arizona State, it was an egregious missed call or changing of direction of the call. But a lot of things had to break right for Texas to win, but they do get a victory in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta in overtime, mind you. That was such a fun game to watch.
That was an amazing game to watch. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday. I mentioned I could feel where this one might be a little closer, kind of like the Penn State game. Boy, was it, and then some. But it was, look, if you say, okay, what was the better team? Which was the better team? I would say Texas. But I don't think they were like clearly that much better considering how they're playing right now. And Tam Scadaboo, he made himself some money. He made himself a legion of fans. He made himself a legend. No matter how you look at that defense, just does not allow those things to happen. And he went for, what, 143 rushing, 99 receiving, 40-something passing, two-point conversions that really don't even add up in those stats, don't count in those stats. It was a remarkable performance. But let's be very, very honest here. You talk about perspective. I know people, oh, you're just a night. Look, I've been on the Longhorns all year long. You can go back and listen. You can ask Reggie, Figgy.
Yeah, it's kind of unfair how reasonable you are about the Longhorns, because I would like it to annoy you more. It'd be more fun for me personally.
It probably would for most listeners. I've been on them all year long. But let's be honest. If I'm honest as an Aggie to say I really like this Longhorns team, I got to be honest in this game. That was the worst call, given the circumstance, quite possibly in college football history. That was helmet to helmet 100 out of 100 times. I mean, it was unbelievable. And yes, fortunate for the Longhorns, you take it. Hey, if that was the Aggies, I'd be that 1% of fans out there who all happen to wear orange that say, well, you know, it was like, you know, they didn't see it. He didn't do that. No, he did it all. He did helmet to helmet. He launched. He finished. It was helmet to face. The Longhorns should consider themselves very, very fortunate, but that was one of the, if not the worst call, especially given that it was an elimination game for the national championship potentially in college football history.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to play devil's advocate here, in benefit of the Longhorns here, the rule book's definition of crown of the helmet was, you know, updated in 2022 season to really focus on the top of the head. Right. Or from that to the top segment of the helmet, right? The circular area defined by a 6-inch radius from the apex of the top of the helmet. Mm-hmm. I think we all can understand that, but that's the wording in there. He led like in the way that historically held that you probably were taught, which is face like your face mask.
They used to teach us hairline.
OK, well, or maybe
hit little, him with your hairline,
maybe a little bit after you, but like face mask into him. Right. Yeah. Like, and we get one of those things that happens in football in general sometimes, which is levels kind of shift in the collision. And then that makes that look a little bit weird, where it felt like he did lead with that face mask as opposed to that helmet. But you do have helmet to helmet and you had the immediate response.
And the launching.
Like the launching is OK. Fair enough. Yeah. Like in that instance, it just felt like for me, seeing it live, of course, you have the benefit of replay and all these things. That's the reason why you have those. It felt like, all right, cool. That was just a well-timed hit. But there, I mean, he hits him in the head, right? And that is undeniable. And then I think also the response that happens immediately after, where you see the physical response inflicted upon the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, man, yeah, this is the whole idea of what we're trying to stop.
No, that's why they have the rule.
Right, the whole idea is trying to deter that. And so shout out to Tony the Handsome on the Twitch. Or sorry, who was the other person who got on here that said that the target call cost them a rally? That absolutely halted what was a lot of opportunity for Arizona, who was really riding the wave, who was playing really good football in that moment, and was allowed Texas to stem the tide, get it to overtime, and then ultimately win it there. But the big thing for me with this game, outside of like that particular call, was the idea that, hey, man, the Quinn Ewers as limiting factor of this Texas team is abundantly clear.
Yes.
Is abundantly clear. And I think that this is what's going to halt them from going on into the championship game, because they are now slated to face off against Ohio State, who, man, did they handle up.
How you feeling now, O-H-I-O, about your coach? How you feeling now about him? Because that was prepared, dominant, throwing the ball, making the adjustments to, you know, that he's been criticized. He doesn't use those great receivers and all that. I mean, all of it.
Yeah.
Boat raced them.
Yeah, and I was reminded of the fact that, oh yeah, Oregon's defense isn't all that good. Like, it's good on a larger scale of the nation.
Yeah.
But once you get into these confines of the best teams in college football, oh yeah, that is a factor that's limited. And Ohio State really got out here and made this happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. And if you look at that compared to the Texas team, where I know Sarkisian's drawing up good plays and that defense is stout, but if you have so many of these plays that have to be kind of like jump balls to Matthew Golden, which, by the way, that makes me sad every time I see it.
I know.
It's good for him, right? The stage is where he should be, but I keep thinking, man, it'd be nice if he was at the University of
Houston.
Where
was he before?
It would be nice if he was still at the University of Houston, but like you have jump balls like that, and that feels like that's a limitation because of what Quinn Ewers is capable of doing. Plus, I think that that also still hurts the run game because you have that.
And I was surprised they couldn't run the ball.
Doesn't have a high success rate throwing those types of passes. But then when you have that, you're like, okay, run the football. But the defense knows that as well, and they're able to kind of load up a little bit. And I thought that that was some of the things that you saw. Salute to Kenny Dillingham for being able to coach up his Arizona State team, a team that was supposed to finish or voted to finish dead last in the Big 12, ultimately wins the Big 12, and puts on a good showing in this one, a very, very good showing that just falls short, and some people say was basically robbed of them by Big 10 officials.
Now, I will give the Longhorns, and especially Quinn Ewers, because I'm with you on your opinion there of Quinn Ewers. He can be limiting, but okay, so the play happened that really potentially robbed Arizona State of advancing, all right? But let's set that aside. It happened. It's done. Everybody's mad except, you know, obviously Longhorns fans. If you set that aside, what Quinn Ewers did and what the Arizona State defensive coordinator did, and his name escapes me right now, on that fourth and 13 for the ball game, is almost inexcusable. And I'm interested in to hear someone like Clint talk about this, because if remember, it was fourth and eight, and then there was a procedure penalty.
False start, yeah.
False start.
They had a few of those late in the game.
And it made it fourth and 13. At fourth and eight, I can almost understand you going all out blitz on a gotta have it play, make the play and you advance type thing. Fourth and 13, you gotta keep guys in front of you. That's me.
I disagree. I think that is the quintessential time where you pin your ears back, you make it.
Fourth and eight, make them get the ball out quick. You know, you don't know that it was going to get picked up. It did get picked up, so credit to the offensive line for Texas and Quinn Ewers finding what was ended up being the game-tying score. I know there's another thought, and you have the other thought. My thought is if it's 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, blitz him, get the ball out of his hands. Anything longer than that, 13, 14, 15, keep them in, don't blitz, at least double their best receiver and keep them in front of you, because that's it. It's one play. It's just one play and you advance.
I hear you. I just thought that this is absolutely fair. These are the moments where you can pin your ears back and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that really it was less of a poor choice defensively by Brian Ward, would be the defense coordinator there. And it was more just a fantastic play.
They picked it up.
Because they picked up that blitz perfectly. And it was not an easy blitz to pick up.
I think it was 7-6 at least.
So, I just thought that was one of those instances where, hey, man, they're trying to play too, and they made a really good play in a high leverage moment. And I felt a lot less inclined to come down hard on Arizona State, a team that really just had a phenomenal showing this season, a phenomenal game. And unfortunately, someone's got to lose. And in this instance, it was indeed them. And shout out to Kenny Dillingham also for showing a level of class in this, where some of his players wanted to walk off the field and he decided to be real old school about it, make sure that they stayed on and shook the hands of their opponents to show that ultimate sportsmanship. That was a fun game, and now you move on to what will be the semifinals on that particular side. And I'm just, I feel like Ohio State has really primed themselves to go to the national championship game. You feel that as well?
I think right now Ohio State is the team to beat. We mentioned it yesterday that they just kind of had that look like, okay, they might be dialing it up a little bit here, dialing it in. How wild would it be for Penn State and Ohio State to end up,
Especially wild, because I think the Penn State is looking at a nasty one. Now, their opponent has not been decided yet, because the Sugar Bowl was moved from yesterday to today. It'll be played at 3 p.m. Central Time in New Orleans at
Let's go Irish.
The Superdome. And yes, I see where you are. I know where your allegiances lie, or at least where your pocketbook lies. But I mean, outside of that, if you can indeed separate it, it does feel like Notre Dame has a really good chance of beating Georgia.
It's why, as I've often said, I've never been a big fan, but it's why I bet on them to win the national championship. I think they have the most complete team There's a lot of complete teams now. We're getting down to the cream of the crop here. Sorry for the cliche, but we're getting down to the very best teams, and it's clear Ohio State has just about everything. Texas, when they're dialed in, has just about everything. Georgia, well, they might have a couple of shortcomings here and there, but Notre Dame to me has the most complete team remaining, and it's why I put my money where my mouth was.
Yeah, and I clowned you a little bit because I feel like the actual national championship call might be a little far-fetched, but getting them to the actual game, that felt like that was a good look, and I think that you're still there. The spread, as you mentioned, shifted, what is it, a few points, 3 points, was it?
Yeah.
To Notre Dame being the favorite by a single solitary point. Looks like that should be another entertaining one. Hopefully today, and we'll get a chance to watch that ahead of, I guess that's the game today, and then there's also a Duke Ole Miss game tonight.
I'm sorry, what?
The Mayo Bowl, baby.
the
Mayo Bowl.
The Dukes?
No, that's not the Dukes Mayo Bowl happens in Raleigh?
Man.
No, Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I'm sick. Sorry, I got a little excited about
the Mayo Bowl. Yeah, you heard Duke and you went there. No, that's the Dukes Mayo Bowl. This Duke's is actually the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
Okay.
That happens in Jacksonville at Everbank Stadium.
So does the coach get dumped with Gators?
Yes. No, they get...
1040s.
Yeah, exactly. That's 1040s and W9s.
Hey, it's that time of year.
1040 easy. They're going to just dump them all over his head.
You get a whole
head.
Bunch of tax. And the additional part is that now you have to go fill those out.
Losers get audited.
File them accordingly.
That would be badass.
Oh, but no, it wouldn't. What do you mean that would be badass? What are you talking about?
Losers get audited.
Hey, that high stakes. High stakes.
That is.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Excited for this college football playoff. That, along with just the bowl games, it feels like there's been a lot of entertaining games this holiday season, which is a delight for all us football fans across the nation. All right, coming up next in the loop, let's jump into this. This Texans-Titans game that's coming up. You're in a place where you're not sure that the Stars play very much. They'll play a little bit, it seems like D'Amico has assured us. But you still think that the Texans absolutely must win this game, huh?
I do.
We'll talk about it next.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atitula. And we got Colin Neal in for the vacationing Figgy Fig, who, yes, he did. He did get his studio all the way together. That
looks good. I got to see those pics. He was telling me about it, yeah.
Puts them on social media always, as he often does. Man, make sure you follow the man, Figgy Fig, on all social media platforms. In fact, the man does good work over there on his socials. But we're getting ready for Texans-Titans coming up this Sunday, Week 18, finishing out. The regular season, and you'll hear that, of course, here on Sports Radio 610, because that one is on the road in Tennessee at Nashville, or in Nashville at, what is it, Nissan Stadium. Is what
you would know.
I guess that is fair. I would know. But this game, I think we're already in that mode of who plays, who doesn't, how long do they play, and the coaching staff and front office haven't given us the full indication of how long these guys will ultimately play. D'Amico Ryans has made it abundantly clear that he wants them to get back to playing good football. Mm-hmm. However long it takes for that, it, I think, is a fair assumption on how they play, how long they play. And when I say they, I feel like there's probably just a few guys that you're talking about getting some rest. Obviously, CJ would be one of those guys. Your edge rushers are probably in there. Joe Mixon. I imagine Nico Collins is probably involved in there as well. Is there anybody else that you think that I'm missing?
Well, you said CJ, the
quarterback,
the two ends,
yeah,
Mixon,
yep,
Nico.
That might be about it, huh?
I feel like those are probably your prime candidates that you're talking about.
That you don't want to play. That you want them to get
an opportunity to get off their feet and rest a little bit. But with that being the case, and understanding, you know, that situation, understanding the fact that unfortunately you lost the first meeting with them back in week 12, you're of the opinion that it's a must win regardless?
Yeah, there's a lot of, they kind of picked the scab yesterday. The Titans kind of picked, and the people who cover them and follow them and the Titans themselves kind of picked that scab of just how much they reveled and relished that that win in week 12. And it just makes me want to win this game, whether you play, the Stars play, whether the Stars play a little, whether the Stars don't play at all, to win this game. Because for a couple of reasons. One is very selfishly, you don't want to get swept by the Titans.
Correct.
I mean, that is just, and, you know, win it for Hannah, you know, because she's the one that has broken out the broom when the Texans swept the Titans last year. That was a Figgy Fig joint, as they say, that he got that video. And now you want, you know, emotionally, you want Amy Adams Strunk to break out a broom?
For months.
Yeah.
Months upon months.
Maybe
upon
she
months.
Can ride it.
Okay. Both the implications there are ones
home.
That are uncomfortable for me. Right? Both of the implications there.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's clear that this means something, not just to her, but also to like this team. And I guess I will give her and Brian Callahan a level of credit there in that the meaning of this game and of this, I guess, rivalry, if you will indeed call it that, they've gotten that down to the locker room level.
Yes.
Jeffrey Simmons, noted defensive tackle for this team, notable, I should say, and he is a menace up the middle. He's going to provide some challenges and maybe just like a nice stress test for the interior of this offensive line, as it'll be constituted, and it feels like that constitution interior left to right will be obviously Titus Howard at left guard, Jarrett Patterson at center, and probably Juice Scruggs at right guard. It seemed like he was getting some work there yesterday. We'll get some more insight when these fellas get on the practice field today. But Jeffrey Simmons said, quote, "If we don't win this game, it's going to be all over for Miss Amy. We know the history behind everything, and just to see her in this locker room with tears in her eyes, she got the game ball. This is for her." That was them talking about that game after week 12. And that was deeply upsetting, especially, again, on your home turf, right? Mm-hmm. Like, allowing them to come in and really doing the things that have been the frustrations all season long, right? Yes. That game you were penalized quite a bit. I think it was 11 times penalized in that game. Mm-hmm. You had turnovers. And then the really big thing that was deeply frustrating is that a defense that is really good but had been susceptible to deep plays, although you had not seen opposing teams come in and finish those connections on the field, that was the day that they happened, that the opposing team, led by Will Levis, happened to connect.
Lord Almighty.
With Chigakonkwo and with Westbrook Akine, and big plays that ultimately were the ones that did you in.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Okonkwo, you know, like I said, they just sort of picked at that scab by rehashing all these comments and quotes and actually adding some themselves during their media availability this week. But he says, "It's the Texans, you know. That's the one team in the division that we have bad blood with." And it's true. It's real. That's the big rivalry now. So I really feel like... I didn't even give the other reason. The one reason is just the emotional aspect of why I think you need to win this game, and I really want the Texans to win this game. The other reason, even if players don't play, it'll just... let's say all those guys we mentioned earlier don't play at all. I think they will, or at least some of them will, but let's say they don't play at all, and you still win. That still leaves you with a better taste in your mouth going into the postseason. You know what I mean? Like just from a football perspective, even if your stars aren't playing, I feel like the organization feels, you know, hey, you know, we got that dub. We went to Tennessee. We got a win, and we did it without, let's say, CJ or Mixon or whomever. I think it's still, you know, that's one thing that D'Amico was saying. We don't get that taste out of our mouths. I think you still get that taste out of your mouth, whether the Stars play or not.
Yeah, just getting, getting a win, as we've said it before, it's one of those cliches in sports, right? Winning is like the best deodorant.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think that it's going to be, you know, ultra strength or whatever in this instance to get rid of all of the stink that it seems like this team has when it comes to execution issues or what have you, right? The whole rigmarole. But it can be helpful, especially when
it will be.
Again, you're not going to bench everyone. Like people, there's going to be people that matter on this team playing for a good portion of this game. And the one place that I think we're all looking, because it is the place of focus and the one that is going to have scrutiny, not just through this game, not just in the playoffs, however long that lasts for this Texans team, but into the offseason, because it is a place of great need. It is a foundational place. Mm-hmm. That's the offensive line, right? And yeah. This is an interesting game to test that in some ways because of the guys they're going up against. But yeah, man, I think also it's an opportunity to clean up some of your mess, man.
And you mentioned the offensive line. I think that's huge. None of those guys, you know, knock on wood, outside of injury, are going to come off the field. Like, I think they'll probably play the whole game because it is a new unit. They are going into the postseason. So I think absolutely that the offensive line, that would be that would leave a very good taste in CJ Stroud's mouth, even if he didn't play.
Yeah,
honestly, he could see the offensive line. Hey, man, they got it done.
We might be doing a little bit of reaching on this portion of it, like for the team. The part that it'd be great for is the fans, right?
Yeah.
Because can you imagine, right? If CJ Stroud, even if he plays a few drives, maybe one quarter, if you can have in your pocket, yeah, okay, fine, times one. However, we sent Davis Mills over there and whipped you.
And the line protected him.
Yeah.
Made now, some holes.
That'd be a little frustrating if the line protected him and we're like, all right, so all of a sudden y'all got it for
what, do you not like CJ?
All of a sudden y'all got it for Davis? What happened? How did that work?
Got it in for CJ?
No, but I mean, if you can be like, hey, we sent Davis Mills out there, we gave Damian Pierce a whole bunch of carries, and we handed it to you. That'd be nice to combat all this Amy Adams Strunk nonsense that comes through, like all this Titans nonsense that comes through, especially with them wearing the Oilers jerseys and everything. Like, that would be nice to help combat that aspect of this as well. As Jamie mentions on the YouTube, I'd like to see the Texans second string destroy the Titans for three quarters, then purposely let them win at the end so their draft pick gets knocked down a notch.
No. No, no.
You're like, leave the draft pick. They're not going to get it right anyways. Is that what you're doing?
They're going to get it right anyway. But you mentioned the Oilers uniforms. We talked about the emotional aspect. This was making the rounds yesterday, too. I think it was from a podcast. Was it the Johnny Manziel podcast? It was Vince Young was on there, and then somehow they... No, I got that wrong. It was another podcast, but they brought this up from the whole Bud Adams thing.
Yeah.
And this just sort of irked me and makes me want to win even more.
It was rumored that Houston really wanted Vince. Years before, we'd had to leave. And even though he still lived there, Bud was never really happy about that whole thing. And I think in Bud's mind, if he could pull one over on Houston by getting Vince Young, then, you know, he was going to have a yuck about it.
Out of spite. The third choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select
Vince. They drafted Vince Young largely because of spite.
Yeah. And then they went and allowed his career to flounder, unfortunately. So they hurt Houston in two ways. That's a Houston legend in and of himself, Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like, yeah, let's get some get back in that regard. But I do agree in some ways with the 281 here, who says losses to teams like the Titans and the Jets this season are exactly why the Texans aren't ready to be elite. And yeah, like those were some of the ones that made it abundantly clear, especially like the Jets one being on national TV, a Thursday night game there in New York. Like, I think that those are some of the ones that made it abundantly clear. And this is a nice way to kind of clean up some of your mess. Like,
yes.
It would be nice to get that win.
Yeah. And again, even if they don't play, I'm at the place now where they'll feel good about things, especially if the line plays well, especially if there's some, you know, other progress. Maybe you get some receivers, maybe Deontay Johnson.
The Deontay Johnson aspect of this is going to be deeply interesting. I think we'll talk more about that as we go here on today. But, yeah, that one is just how quickly can you integrate him? What is it going to look like? Because this is a very short span that you have
to get
a feel for what he is. I know that he was talking earlier this week to the media, and he seems to like – this was a place that he was interested in. Now he is here. He seems to be buying in on the concept. And depending on how it works, like, this could be also way more important for this team moving forward, because you have some things that you need to figure out when it comes to wide receiver in the upcoming year. I know this season isn't done, but like, eye on the next season is already there. And can Deontay Johnson be somebody who adds to your wide receiving core for the 2025 season, considering the injuries that you have to Tank Dell?
And then finally, apropos of nothing, from the 979, boys, I just, by God, got married again.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Salute to you.
How about that?
Yeah, hope 2025 and beyond.
Off to a flying start.
It's beautiful for you. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, inspired by that targeting that wasn't a targeting, but that a lot of people believe was targeting in the Peach Bowl. What bad call still sticks with you? 713-572-4610. That is the conversation we'll have next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, let's get into the question of the day here in the loop on this Thursday. What bad call still sticks with you to this day? 713-572-4610 is the number to text and let us know. This is inspired by the Peach Bowl. University of Texas Longhorns narrowly escape the Arizona State Sun Devils in an overtime game. Was it two overtimes is ultimately what it got to? Because we just narrowly escaped the first college football playoff two-point shootout. Because, you know, and once they get to the third overtime, it's just you go straight to the two-point conversions, and that would have been another level of unhinged in college football, which I appreciate being brought to the highest levels of this. But, yeah, man, just a targeting penalty by a Longhorn safety was originally thrown a flag for. There was a liberation in review, and ultimately it was picked up, waved off, and that allowed them to kind of get off the
field. Was a flag thrown?
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was immediately. Because remember, they were Arizona State.
I thought they just reviewed it to see if there was. It doesn't matter, but I was like, if there was a flag thrown, that's even more egregious.
I'll double check on that and make sure. But that, at least there was clearly a conversation had.
Oh yeah,
about whether or not that was. Yeah. I mean, Arizona State wide receiver in an instant, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be something that we have to talk about.
Yeah,
because you saw him just kind of laying flat. He didn't have the full fencing response that we've become accustomed to.
He felt it,
but yeah, no, he absolutely felt that bang bang hit. That happened, but ultimately it goes in favor of the Longhorns. They're able to stay close, unfortunately, for the Longhorns in regulation. Bert Auburn, man, he was having a day.
Wow, we forgot about that.
He was having a day and a half missing all these.
Ball
these,
don't lie. That was because of the call.
Yeah, if you say so.
Yeah, ball don't lie,
if
man.
You say so.
Yeah.
some would say that it was because of a couple of Arizona State, staffers or whatever. Couple of women on the sideline.
Equipment managers.
Equipment managers is the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
Literally walking.
Game ball if they'd have won. Game ball if they'd have won.
For sure. Real. Everybody gets a game ball in that circumstance, right? That's a nice knockoff. But what bad call still sticks with you?
Now, we're talking like in your personal fandom. Like
no flag thrown. Thank you by the text line.
You personally, it still just eats at you. Well, and we're getting a bunch of texts on this, and I was a senior in high school watching on NBC. I can't even tell you what network carried the game. It was on NBC.
I mean, it was only four or three. It wasn't even four at that point.
Yeah, on NBC, I think it was Don Crickey, if I'm remembering it correctly, on the call. My guy Dan Pastorini drops back, throws the ball to the corner of the end zone. Mike Renfro catches it for a touchdown, but wait. It was so bad that in today's NFL, it wouldn't have even be reviewed. Like, it wouldn't have even been reviewed, the Mike Renfro catch. Like, it was so clear. Catch, 2 feet in. That one sticks with me from the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't help that, you know, it's the Steelers in that period of time where, you know, just kind of have that great history there in the benefit of the doubt goes their way. I pulled it back up just to watch this, and man, you're right, man. Like this is an incredible catch. Very clearly gets those 2 feet down, and in the modern era with the benefit of high definition cameras, we would just have so much fun with this. But that's also a credit to the fact that it should not have been an issue. Is that in standard def? It's like so what are we talking about?
Exactly,
man, that's a touchdown. That's absolutely that.
That is a touchdown. And then the other one was from 2011, the last time the Longhorns and the Aggies played before this year. Probably the worst personal foul call against the Aggies on what ultimately would be the game-winning kick by Justin Tucker, believe it or not. I want you to look at this egregious personal foul call.
I'll do what I can to describe
the
that.
The guy hit him with his shoulder on his chest.
Yeah, drop pass, and the Texas A&M defensive back just kind of ricochets off of his chest.
Now compare that to what happened yesterday.
We can't really do that. Those things don't those things don't overlap in a way that is meaningful.
Oh, that was a horrible call. He just brushed against his chest with his shoulder.
He made contact after the ball was clearly dropped.
Oh, get out of here.
I got a little bit from him. I riled him up just a little bit.
How about you? I was interested. You mentioned that there was a very personal one.
Very personal.
You.
Nobody cares about your intramural basketball, and yet I will trouble you with this story. Playing intramural basketball when I was a freshman at Kansas State University. and, you know, you're playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit taller, not like I'm crazy tall. I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
Thereabouts. So
it was officiated. It was an actual game.
That's the beauty of intramural basketball. Yeah. You get some student who's getting paid $15 to be there with a whistle to call your basketball game. And in this instance, gentlemen, I would say did not do a good job because I'm playing defense. I've got, what is it? 5 fouls that you get. So I've got 4 fouls, or it might've been 6 fouls. I don't recall how many fouls. I'm on my final foul.
Yeah.
I'm standing in the paint, standing, you know, straight up, solid base, not moving, hands up, dude in front of me kind of drops his head into my chest, or actually basically almost into my stomach area, mm-hmm. raises up. And somehow in doing that, my jersey gets like lodged on his head. So he is in my jersey at this point and then goes up, whistle, foul, blocking foul. I'm like, how did I get a foul?
I'm just standing here.
He somehow got his head into my jersey and I picked up a foul. It's one of those things that's so incredibly stupid that it sticks with me. Again, the stakes, not there at all. Talking about an intramural basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so egregious that how did I get a foul for him putting his head in my jersey? And this is why if I ever play any level of organized, yes, we did lose that game. if I play any level of organized basketball, my jersey is always tucked in.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, never again. Never mm-hmm. again will I allow somebody to get me on a foul with some BS like that.
He'll tighten that up real tight on you.
That's so sick.
Dez caught it.
I was not looking for a charge. I was playing defense.
Yeah.
Dez caught it. I just keep saying for those Cowboys fans that might be listening or Cowboys fans elsewhere, you realize you do this to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Like, you don't have to keep bringing this up. We all know that was kind of wild mm-hmm. that happened. You don't have to keep bringing it up. Yeah. You're re-traumatizing yourself.
Yeah.
But yes, that the tough thing about that game also is that there's still time on the clock, right? You go and you score there. That thing can still come right back around on you.
Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Right back around on you.
Oh, how could we forget Kevin Durant out of bounds?
Yes. No, that one is egregious, especially because, again, the stakes make it mm-hmm. to that place where you can't forget it because that is a Warriors team that was a boogeyman mm-hmm. of sorts. And you were there. You were there to knock them off, if not for, you know, them getting the incredible benefit of the doubt. I mean, Kevin Durant, full foot was down, man.
The whole thing wasn't even
the
close.
Whole foot was down.
Yeah.
Someone brings this up. BB was out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's another Oilers situation.
That
here.
Is the famous Buffalo game, 35-3, whatever it was. Don BB on one of the, I think it was the second touchdown in the second half. Clearly out of bounds. Like clearly out of bounds. And who knows, you know, how that would have been different.
Everybody knows how that would have been different. Would have been a championship a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, that's how it would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things that are coming in. Obviously, everybody keeps bringing up Mike Renfro. Years ago from the 281, I saw the replay of the 72 USA Russia Olympic basketball gold medal game. It was before I was born, but the refs allowing the final play to be replayed twice until Russia made a winning basket at the end was truly unbelievable.
You're familiar with this.
I am familiar with this. I'm trying to remember who was on that USA team.
It was,
that I recall
it was the former coach that made the free, he made the two big free throws of the Collins, Doug Collins.
It was Doug Collins.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Doug Collins. But not only did they let them do it again? They put time back on the clock. like the refs went to the table and said, hey, put 3 seconds back on. Why? Just put 3 seconds back on.
Because you're not trying to deal with these Russians. That's why. That's why. You don't want to deal with these Russians.
What
That's
do you mean
why.
3 seconds? Just put the time on the damn clock. And so we can get out of here.
Some other ones that come in here on the text line from the 7134 is Mexicans, the terrible penalty given to the Netherlands in the World Cup. I'm not recalling that particular game off the circle back.
I'm not recalling it, and I should.
I do appreciate that when you have a nickname for a play, mm-hmm. I feel like that one steps up and someone mentions Hand of God. Right, Maradona.
I do remember that one.
Maradona using the hand well placed. To
he punched it.
Simulate, yeah. But it was close enough where it kind of looked like a header, almost.
Yeah. He was like, ugh.
How do you feel about this one that comes in? Jordan push off in Utah at 88.
I don't think it should have been called. I mean, I think he was just leveraging himself with the defender. Now, some people will argue with me all day.
And Jordan's one of those dudes who, he was incredible at playing the margins, so to say. Like, I mean, in professional sports and competitive sports.
How do you feel about that? We've never talked about that.
Well, about what?
About the I don't think you call that push off.
No, I think he that's a pro push.
Yeah.
Like he uses kind of the momentum.
I said leveraging.
He used that kind of momentum. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a push in there, but
well, sure.
That's the nature of the game there. Use him, send him that way. That's one of the things that Jordan was great at, especially defensively. One of the things that allowed him to be great with the addition with hand checking still in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're posting him up, especially if you're showing him that front hip, that hand on that front hip, and he had you in control.
Oh, yeah, he could do whatever the heck he wanted.
Some other things that have come through on the text line. Chiefs are the Steelers of old. I mean, look, it's hard to deny the favor that the Chiefs get from time to time, or at the very least, the very good fortune that they get if you don't want to attribute malice to it. Like they get quite a lot of good benefit here. Yeah, 713, let's talk about this one. We absolutely got this to a place where, you know, where it is, there's a 30 for 30 documentary about it. Mm-hmm. There's another one of those names for it, the Tuck Rule. And that's one that's deeply frustrating because how the hell did we have to create a rule to get that one right?
Yeah, they did it you know, retroactively to make sure they get it right. Saints Rams, and I don't disagree with the walkaway line here from the 832. The Saints Rams pass interference, he said it began the decline of an entire franchise. It did.
Mm.
Saints have never been the same.
That's fair. Yeah, but I think the Saints also, some of that's they're doing. Like some of that is they're doing. I'm not trying to minimize that. Like while you have your window, you want to take those shots and bad calls like that, bad opportunities, knock down some of your opportunities to actually cash in the window that you have. But they are still in cap hell, and they've been in cap hell for like the better part of a decade, it feels like, just kicking the can down the road. Nah, it came to a time where they needed to pay for this. From the 281, overtime between Detroit and Pittsburgh, and Jerome Bettis called heads, ref called tails, and he didn't correct it.
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
I completely forgot that.
That's a really good one.
Because what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be that, you know, that kid in the PSA that's like, coach, I fouled him. Or no, it's like out on me or whatever. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Go snitch on myself? No. He gave me the ball, so we taking the ball.
Altuve's foot from the 713. It was a bad call.
It was a bad call, and it gave us a hilarious moment.
Yeah, it did.
Where Altuve was up in the batter's box with his exposed foot out for the world to see. And from the 281, went in my favor, but Brett Hull's foot in the crease in the Stanley Cup winning goal versus Buffalo in 99. They're still bitter.
Yeah, and they are. That's a good pull right there. I'd forgotten about that one.
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm still mad at the person who said I was looking for a charge in the picket. How dare you impugn my character as to say that I'm out here
flop?
The people
flop.
That are, although I will say I got up here on the Righteous Indignation, and that does take me back to another time where I was playing again. Like what is it, upward basketball? Like as a kid. Like
you played upward?
I sure did.
Everybody sure plays.
Did. I mean, you have to.
No,
I was,
you don't.
I was
no,
good.
You really don't.
I was good, though. And, of course, that's not me bragging. We're my talking kids, about, like, we age put them in 10 upward. Basketball.
When I put my kids in upward, they're like, why are we doing this? They're like, you know what upward is, for those who don't know. Everybody plays a half or something, or a quarter?
I don't remember. Recall. I mean, I was in there. I was just like, hey, man, we playing basketball.
My kids were like 8 years old. I was like, why are we doing this?
I was one of the better defensive players.
Yeah.
And we came up against a team where, you know, when you're playing at children's level sports, there could be, you know, some wild disparities in
talent,
but then also just like in size. Like sometimes you just got somebody
development.
And so there was this kid, very rotund, knew how to use it, right? He was just backing kids down. And my coach was like, stand there. Don't move. And we just fouled that kid out. He ended up crying at the end of the game. So that is the one time that I could say
Reggie made a kid cry.
That I was being a charge merchant. Man. Other than that, I believe strongly in the idea that you go out there, you play defense. Wisconsin, I'm looking at you. All this baiting for charges and such. But regardless,
you made a kid cry.
Hey, he'll deal with it. Yes, and again, I do want to once more point out the fact that Kevin Durant's whole foot. His whole size 32 foot hit that yellow baseline, and yet and still they let that play rock. How dare them? So those are some of the. That's our question of the day. Some of the bad calls that still stick with you to this day in honor of the Peach Bowl. Texas getting over on Arizona State. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, time for us to go around the NFL, where Pro Bowlers have been announced. Which Texans are in? Which Texans are on the cusp? We'll talk about all that next.